Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously.
As always,
joined by Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Jonathan.
How are you on this fine evening?
I'm okay, mate.
Fine wintry evening.
Fine, very late wintry evening.
Indeed. And down the line, Tim Cocker. Hello, mates.
Hello, the Egg Chasers shipping container currently in South London.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Why is it there? You doing breakfast or something?
I am, yeah, covering the Virgin Breakfast Show. So, you know, when you're done with this on your commute, tune in for some top tunes and top chat, mate.
Oh, wow. Wow. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, I'm still hoping they'll tell Chris Evans to do one and maybe I'll get the gig. We'll see.
Well, does Chris Evans work with you now?
He will do in the new year, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, big time. Why is it, Tim, this is very inside baseball, why do they just recycle the same names all the time? Or are you not allowed to tell me that?
Well, I think in Chris Evans's case, it's because he's the highest profile person on the radio in the United Kingdom and the best in the business.
Yeah, but it's like Sarah Cox is back in the game. You know, they seem to be the same names over and over again. The only name...
Well, I'm sure it's just because they're very, very good.
Well, the only name, in our opinion, in our humble opinion, is not getting enough coverage, is one Tim Cocker.
Exactly.
Happy to be part of the Virgin Radio team.
Yeah. Anyway, more hot Virgin Radio chat.
Yeah, more radio
more
chat.
More straight batting.
Straight after I tell you about where you can find us, which is on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, or any provider of podcasts, which you can find on the internet, on Instagram and on Facebook. So you can do all those things. And maybe one day YouTube. Maybe.
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 Watch this space.
Indeed. So we went to bed, closed our eyes, two sleeps later, and the shortened squad, or at least England's squad, has been announced.
England's squad and Ireland, because Ireland have announced the squad that they're taking to USA, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
Because they're... if not in transit now, right now, they've just landed in the USA.
Yes. So, are there many things more attractive to an American woman, not than a British person, but an Irish person and an Irish professional rugby person?
Ooh.
And an Irish professional rugby person. Oh, well, the only one that would be that would be the pinnacle of that would be an Irish professional rugby player who is called Rob Carney.
Oh, yes, quite. Yeah, so they should have fun over there. What do we think of the teams? Oh, no, what do you think of the Ireland team? Give me that one, because that's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more, how can I say, predictable.
It's predictable as in there's a lot of big names there. The big names that are there tend to be the younger big names, the likes of... Furlong, Ryan, Stockdale, and the likes. Some of the older big names, the likes of Sexton, Best, for example, and Carney, have been left in Ireland. So it will be mostly youthful team, but there's still some prime beef out there.
Now, which game was it where they tried to rest all the big boys and it nearly came a cropper? Now, they had one not so long ago, and it was like, I'm sure Sexton was on the bench or something, or definitely Carberry started. Maybe it was on tour. It was on tour, wasn't it? Did they have Australia?
Well, they played in Australia over the summer.
So they won the tour, did they not?
Oh, was it the first game?
Yeah, and they started with Carberry and they had all these lads and they didn't have all their big
guys. Oh, you're right.
And I think, I think they were hoping for a seamless transition, lads to step up and then put real pressure on the senior lads, and they didn't. I wonder if they will do this time, though.
Yeah, I think it was was it the first test?
Yeah, I seem to think that.
I think it's an easier game playing Italy in Chicago than playing Australia in Australia.
But I guess, Chicago is almost their second home now.
It is.
I mean, they played, four or five games there?
This might be three or four. But, yeah, so it'll be easier for Ireland. One of the interesting decisions will be whether they go for Carberry or Byrne at fly half. I'd expect Carberry, based on his experience and his current form.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, a couple of questions in the back row, but much of the team kind of picks itself.
Not Billy Burns.
I think it's great. I think it's great that we're going to see Tig Byrne in an Ireland shirt finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Tig Byrne and Addison.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted to talk about. So Big Will's out there. I wonder if he'll be fullback or if he'll go 13.
He's played most of the season at 13. It'd be interesting to see
that electric outside break. Weapons grade handoff.
Yeah. Well, you got Stockdale, Conway, and Lama, who may well make up the back three. But then you got Bundiecki and Gary Ringrose. So, will he be a utility bench player?
Oh, I think
he's replaced not only Jared Payne at Ulster, but that could be his role for Ireland, I fathom. He could sneak himself in as the 31st man in an Ireland World Cup squad because he can play so many positions.
There are so many parallels between him and Jared Payne. I mean, both of them are Irish by descent. Oh, is Jared Payne Irish by...
He was...
Kiwi.
Residence.
Yeah, I think he was resident than... Yeah,
he's one of the evil Ireland players.
Yeah,
evil.
What? Say it in jest.
Evil. he's multi-positional.
Yeah,
very, very, very tough. And you ask anyone that watches him play, the biggest danger to Will Addison is Will Addison.
It is. He'll never ever take a backward step.
No,
I think it's a good shout, Tim. I think he's the kind of guy who could be the back's wild card in a World Cup squad because of his versatility. He can play, probably 11 through 15.
Isn't it just really strange? I'm not saying for a second if things were different, he should have played for England. But isn't it really strange? If you fast forward and Ireland win the Six Nations again, which they look odds on favourite to do, they have a good autumn, and he goes to the World Cup. Isn't it just odd he never really had a sniff at England?
I don't think it's odd. I don't think there's anybody I would drop out of the England squad to accommodate Will Addison. Well, and that goes for at any point in the last few years.
Well, I guess that's why you don't win much. So, I just think...
Well, let's just be clear. He is in a 46-man Ireland squad.
Yeah, that is true.
So, yes, he might have got into a 46-man England squad. Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It is very... You saying there... If we look back in kind of 12 months and he's had a good some internationals and a good Six Nations and he made the World Cup, there's a huge number of ifs in that. I think Ireland will do well in both of those. I think Addison is most likely to be a bit part player.
Well, I'll have my fingers crossed.
I know you will do.
Right. So
on that one, obviously his relationship with Sale Sharks is a big part of that. I noticed you were the first person to retweet Sale's new fly half as well. So this, you are incredibly committed for someone who's only interested in them as your local club.
I did retweet that, yes, because of course I think it's important that everyone knows all the rugby news all the time. I will say this though, it isn't a signing that I particularly like. But as we're talking about Ireland, I think we've had enough of Will Addison and Sale Sharks' new signing, who we can talk about next week. Overall, I'm quite excited to see his team because I do like it when when young lads or fringe players get a chance because they seem to sort of play a bit harder or they try they try a few different things. It's also good to to follow the human story.
Yeah, agreed. I am looking forward to seeing this, and it will be a late kickoff, won't it?
Yes. Nighttime, drunken nighttime rugby. Love it.
Yeah.
Tell me this. What does the Italy squad look like? Because I have no idea.
I've not seen it, actually. I'm sure there will have been an announcement.
Not really, but I'm not really bothered. Can I just on the other games that are happening, the Ireland game, again, I'm not particularly fussed. I like the idea of games in Chicago and growing the game in the States. I'm not particularly fussed. I'm not looking at this like a proper match. But I am interested to see some of the fringe Ireland players, like you say. But we were talking on the last podcast about the farcical situation surrounding Scotland versus Wales. Two things have happened there. One, they've finally said, yeah, okay, we'll stump up some money towards Doddy Weir to at least mean that story isn't going to dominate proceedings on that day. And secondly, I've only just seen the fixture list for the Pro 14 for Friday night, where Scarlets play Edinburgh and Glasgow play Ospreys.
Two top quality games.
This weekend?
Yep.
This weekend, the day before Scotland play Wales. So those are two Pro 14 games that are happening with none of the internationals, which is an enormous number of people from those sides.
Yes.
I mean, there are some Glasgow teams from last year in particular who were unrecognisable.
Yeah. But so the pro, that seems just crazy to me. And another question that is raised by this. So Pro 14, they play one less game than the Premiership because of the conference system.
Yes.
What are they going to do with all their free weekends?
Hmm.
Because towards the end of the season, presumably, they're going to have...
Well, hang on. They have the conferences. What do they have each? Like, how many?
You play
teams?
Everyone in your conference, and then twice, and then everyone from the other conference once, I think.
But then you've got your derbies as well.
But then you have some derbies. So I think it works out as 21 rather than 22 regular games of the season.
Good question, Phil. Don't know.
Because Premiership obviously didn't have a game last weekend as well because of the Premier Cup. So they're now kind of two games ahead. Anyway, not that it really matters, but this does seem a bit crazy because it is outside the international window.
Yes,
but all four of the home unions are playing each other,
and the Pro 14 has been improving. It really has been, and it is better. And some of the sides are absolutely outstanding.
Yeah,
this invites the ridicule.
Yeah. By home unions, I mean
Italy.
The Pro 14 unions are playing each other. So you would have thought if they just speak with each other and the league and agree, this might be outside the international window, but let's not have a game this weekend.
Madness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually more excited for the Ireland game than I am the Wales game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'd go with that as well.
Right, so shall we talk about Scotland and Wales quickly?
Yes.
Or not? We don't
no.
Have
no.
Oh, actually, no. You wanted to talk about the Doddy Weir stuff, did you not?
Well, I think other than it seems like they've been guilt-tripped into doing the right thing. I think we covered everything else the other day.
You know, like, it should... On one hand, I definitely don't like the fact that they've called it the Doddy Weir Cup, and yet they didn't think to fundraise for it.
Yes.
On the other hand, I also don't like the mob mentality and them sort of guilt tripping the unions into doing something. Like, you either should do something or you should not do something, but you shouldn't be retrospectively guilt tripped and mobbed into doing it.
So I don't think it was a moral stance to not do it. I think, as you said the other day, it was just. Probably mostly incompetence or just simply not thinking, not considering the consequences and how bad it would look if they did it. So I think the right decision has now been taken.
Yeah, I'm not...
Yeah, this is the sort of peer pressure I'm actually... Sorry, this is the sort of peer pressure I'm actually all right with, unlike the peer pressure that got Apu taken off of The Simpsons.
Have you ever heard the story about the Nurses Benevolent Fund?
No.
This is a remarkable story. It was a few years ago. Like I say a few years, it must be 10 years ago now. And there was a nurse, and she went around. And what sounded like a rather good idea to start with sort of spiralled out of control horribly for her. So she went around and asked for footballers for 1 week's wages or 1 day's wages, something like that. So the idea was we were on every football and get 1 week's wages. And she ended up in Middlesbrough. And apparently, like, some of the footballers said, yeah, maybe not, don't know. And then she started chasing for these wages. But instead of chasing, she started, from what I remember, she sent either, like, legal threats or something to the players, that they better pay up or they'll be outed by the Nurses Benevolent Fund for not paying it. And in the end, Gareth Southgate, of all people, who's Middlesbrough manager, said, enough. We will not pay any money to the Nurses Benevolent Fund.
You can't blackmail us into giving a charity donation.
It was the most absurd. I need to read up on that story, but it was one of the most absurd things I've ever heard. Yeah.
So in a world full of offence, I was actually quite happy with the offence that was taken over the ridiculous and incompetent decision not to fundraise.
Can we talk about some more offence really quickly, which is football linked? Anyone seen the controversy surrounding Dan Rowan today?
I've seen the headlines.
Yeah, I have.
What do you think, Tim?
So let me get this right. He was recorded by a member of the public having a conversation with a colleague about the...
Oh, sorry. That's not the Dan Rowan belt, by the way.
He was recorded by a member of the public secretly on a phone having a conversation with a colleague about the nature of the relationship of the now sadly deceased Leicester City chairman. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Now so something like his assistant, who was also his something or other, family man, hey.
Yeah, his mistress. Oh, sorry, I mean his colleague.
Yeah, so, well, what do you think?
Well, I always have a level of sympathy for anybody who is secretly recorded, so private conversations becoming public, because if I was held to account for everything that I've said to you in the pub over a beer,
absolutely,
yeah,
I'd be in trouble. I think the fact that he was stood right by the memorial area around the King Power Stadium does change the dynamic of that slightly.
Yeah,
as he was stood with members of the public.
Yeah, it's in bad taste, right? I do wonder why, if you've got so much disdain for the man, why you would go to the memorial in the first place.
Yeah, and stand there.
Yeah, so it's
people who are clearly mourning and paying respects.
Yeah, it's in terrible taste. And also, like, it's not just the guy that died, the very rich fellow that died. It's also the secretary that died. And, you know, it's just, you know, whoops. On the other hand, if he told me that in the pub, I would definitely laugh. And he was only talking to another equally cynical person down the phone too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does always, that kind of thing, it almost feels a bit Big Brother is watching.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where what should be private conversations are made public.
I mean, there is an element, isn't there? Just leave the mistress jokes until you've left the King Power.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, just leave it till you're 50 yards away from the memorial.
Do it tomorrow. It's equally as funny tomorrow.
It is in awful taste from him. It's so absolutely bad, awful taste from him.
It's really bad.
It's so stupid. Yeah. Stupid from him.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Do you know what's in... it's not so much in poor taste. It's just in poor judgment. Is the 25-man makeup of that England squad.
Oh, nice segue. Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, you cut out for two seconds.
Nice segue, Tim.
Thank you, JB.
It baffles me why Chris Evans is going to get your job.
25-man squad. Before we do the 25-man squad, shall we just briefly touch on the other bit of England news that was announced today, I think it was?
Go for it.
In Will Carling.
Oh, yeah. How weird.
So Will Carling is joining England, their wider team, in a leadership mentor capacity. Because, as Eddie Jonesy said, he wants to bring in an England great, and he's always thought that he had a gap in that area. Which is quite interesting. As Russ Petty on Twitter points out, because Richard Hill has been with the squad since 2016 as team manager.
Yes.
And also Johnny Wilkinson is involved as a kicking coach.
Is he?
Yeah.
I know Wilkinson used to show up. It did seem, didn't it, like back in the day. It seems so long ago now since England was really successful. But back in the day, like, Eddie Jones would just bring in guys left, right and centre. And everyone would go, oh, paradigm breaking.
Yeah.
And everyone would add like a little something to it. Like, oh, Johnny's in for a weekend. Oh, brilliant. Glenn Ella's in for a weekend. Oh, magnificent. Well, you know, well done. Yeah, well, this is really great stuff. And now it's not going so well. It just doesn't have the same impact.
Well, I was thinking about that exact principle earlier this week, actually. Because, so when Eddie Jones first got involved, he was mixing around some of the positions. He was very, very fixed with some positions because he was limited for options. But he would, like, he'd bring Manu in, he'd bring Yard in, he'd bring whoever it was in, Johnny May in, Noel would come in, Daly would come in, Watson would come in. And so you'd have, like, multiple different options. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's balancing the team, he's getting everyone the right amount of experience, it's working perfectly.
Perfectly.
And then exactly those same principles now, where there's new people coming into camp, other people are going, disappearing from camp despite playing well, with little reason. And everyone's taking exactly the opposite approach. It's all downfall 2018.
Oh, it very much is downfall 2018. I don't really understand how it works. I mean, if I'm Dylan Hartley, do I look at my timetable? It's like strength and conditioning in the morning, line-up practice mid-afternoon, sit down with Will Carling for an hour at 3 o'clock. I mean, do they structure sessions with Will Carling? Or does he just hang around the bar, you know, having a drink, and if you want to, you know, talk to him about his past glories, you can do that. Does he, you know, present to the team?
PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
I hear Will knocks up a mean PowerPoint.
Well, I was interviewing Greg Bateman on the Rugby Dungeon the other week. Go and have a listen to that if you want. And we're talking about the sports psychologist at Leicester Tigers. He's just literally on staff, and if you want to have a chat to him for whatever it is, you go and have a chat to him. I wonder if it's the same thing. It just doesn't... I mean, Will Carling has been out of frontline rugby for so long. Unless I've missed something, which he's been doing in the background, I don't know.
Well,
I don't get it.
I've got a thought on this.
Yes, please.
So yes, from a rugby perspective, he can empathise with the pressure cooker of rugby. He was an England captain during a home World Cup, so he will have some level of understanding there. But in terms of rugby, from a professional point of view, a lot of people have been saying he's not been around since rugby was relevant. It's like the journalists who are still jabbering on like the game hasn't moved on. So, but the difference is he can have a level of empathy with these players. He will be the sort of guy that Billy Vunipola talked about a few years ago when he said, we just need to have a beer rather than have another training session. And his whole business is about leadership, team dynamics and that kind of thing. So,
is that what he does for a living?
Yeah, he does. So what I'm going to suggest, he does like business training days. His company does that sort of stuff.
Now, is that code for, you know, a PowerPoint presentation, then lots of drinks?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing that Hangover will take film.
So do you know what I can summarise? I can summarise the Will Carling appointment in one word.
Beer.
Culture.
Culture.
Like,
well,
it.
I just want to back your point up, really, about the pressure cooker, because everyone sort of assumes rugby back in the day was completely different, and it was on the field. But here's a plug. The Tom English book, The Grudge, have a read of that, because the picture it paints of the pressure prior to the Calcutta Cup in 80-something, it just...
Grand Slam decider. Yeah.
Oh, it just sounded phenomenal. Like, absolutely phenomenal. The media build-up. This is even before the days of social media and so on and so forth. This was front-page stuff, which actually...
Yeah, just consider for a second that... Yeah, just consider there were only four television channels then, and one of them was showing the Six Nations games.
Yes. Yeah, so it was
It's a huge cultural moment. Everyone knew it was happening and was into it.
It might actually... Thinking about it, it might have been bigger. Just because they weren't getting paid, Doesn't mean it wasn't necessarily bigger. So, yeah, actually, I'm going off topic now. You have to read that book, because Ian McGeechan was ahead of his time because he watched VHS of the games, but the SRU would not buy him a video player because it was amateur, and he had to drive from Leeds up to Scotland almost every week.
That is incredible.
It really is an astonishingly good book. So go read it.
Yes.
So Will Carling, it might be. Yeah, why not? I mean, he needs to do something.
So what I'm thinking is, he's actually, in a funny way, he's taking a leaf out of Stuart Lancaster's book. Do you know what we need going into a World Cup? A bit more culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Just to point
you.
Yeah. Just.
why not? I think we've got reams and reams of podcasts from 2015 telling you exactly why not.
Yeah. Well, look, Eddie's tried and failed, or failing massively. I don't think we're far off from actually asking Stuart Lancaster to come in and do a presentation.
Parachute Lancaster in.
Yeah. Good old Stu. So what about the team? Because that's obviously what everyone else wants to talk about.
Yes. So he's dropped a few players, retained 25, of which 23 will be the squad with a couple of travelling reserves. Amongst those dropped, so Courtney Laws is
injured.
Injured due to a bed that was too small for him, apparently.
That's all beds.
Yes. Ben Morgan disappears, which leaves... Well, By my reckoning, it only leaves two possible options for guys that have played any significant time at number 8.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen here.
In Zach Mercer and Mark Wilson. And
I just want to go back. Why did you say, oh no, for Ben Morgan?
Because I think... If you've got Billion Nathan, right, you've basically got direct replacements, and there's a certain way that you want to play, and that's sort of okay. I think if you've got Zach Mercer, who will start, I think, you probably want a Ben Morgan knocking about to play a different way should you want to. So, getting rid of Ben Morgan, yeah, I know he's not been completely relevant for 3 years on the international scene, but he does offer you a big ball carrier. And
he does, but he's not been playing like a top flight international, really.
I know.
I agree
with you, but
it's kind of a Hobson's choice. Mm. Ben Morgan has had a couple of good games this season, a couple of very good games. Besides that, he's been.
Ruben Ackerman fit. He doesn't get in the Gloucester team.
Yeah, Zach Mercer, on the other hand, is potentially exceptional. But he is also, right now, a very good broken field runner. But in international rugby, you get very little broken field, and England need carriers.
Now, yeah, I'm conflicted on this, because nothing Eddie Jones has ever done has suggested that he likes a Zach Mercer-type player, ever. And for all the negatives...
Well, starting Sam Simmons.
Yeah.
Sam Simmons is the smaller, lighter...
I guess so.
...version, so that... That is an option. And Sam Simmons did very well against Italy.
Yes. So,
but when he got more serious, he did struggle.
Big time. He got melted. And I kind of think... Eddie Jones is a very pragmatic guy. And for a guy that also has decided which way he's wanted to play for some time now and has hung on the fitness of a big centre for a long time now... It's a hell of a risk to go in with someone like Zach Mercer. Now, Zach Mercer is interesting because I think people who watch him, there's like a hope that Zach Mercer is the future. Because if Zach Mercer is the future, it means all the things that we think about rugby are currently wrong. I.e. winning the collision is key, physicality is key, just big men mashing into big men is how you win rugby games. That's what I think. Now... If the people who like Zach Mercer are correct, it means it opens up a whole new treasure trove of how rugby should be played. It's going to be elegant running into space. And I simply don't believe it.
Well, no, I don't think one or the other. I don't think it's ever a one or the other.
No, it's never one or the other.
As we have said on this before, it is, especially in the back row and in the forwards, it's a balance. And if you have someone like Mercer who is very talented, very good field, broken field runner, very good runner if you get space. You need other guys who are going to do a lot of the grunt work for him.
Do you think Eddie might throw a curveball and put Brad Shields at number eight?
Ooh, maybe. I mean, so, that'd be insane, but yeah, why? Yeah, maybe.
Personally, no. So, having watched a reasonable amount of Brad Shields at my beloved Canes, he's not that kind of player.
Yeah, but I remember...
He's not... You see people, some kind of... I want to say lazy journalists, but uninformed people who don't watch much Super Rugby will say, Brad Shields, come from Super Rugby, he must be one of these offloading, running back rowers. He's not. He's a very hard-working back rower. He'll make lots of tackles. He will hit lots of breakdowns. He's not the kind of guy who should be operating at number eight. He's not the guy who's going to run 30 yards, throw an offload, throw a two-man miss pass. He's a worker.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
So if we put Mercer at eight, who's the rest of the back row then?
Whoa, wait, just to go back to Phil's point here about Eddie Jones and not doing that, because you know that Brad Shields has not played much eight in Super Rugby. I do remember actually watching a lot of Super Rugby and seeing Brad Shields play a lot of second row. So you know Eddie moves in mysterious ways.
He does move The 2 points I made were, I've not seen him play it. He's not that type of player.
I agree with you.
The point about his grunt work, he's actually closer to a second row than a number eight in my mind. And
is he closer to a second row than Nick Azikwe?
He's got a lot more experience at higher level than Nick Azikwe.
On the second row, I'm going to say that the biggest or the most unexpected call in the England squad is that Elliot Stook, despite being probably third or fourth choice lock at Bath, is in the England squad still.
Yes.
Is he still there?
He is.
Yeah.
So he's going to be, well, he's probably his most likely position is travelling reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they decide to play Itoje at number six.
So difficult, isn't it? I mean, Mercer will start. So, Han, who is the rest of the back row? Let's answer that question. You were Itoje at
Tom
six.
Curry will be seven because Underhill is not in the squad
unless,
anymore.
Unless he goes for Wilson as a seven, because Wilson can play legitimately, can play six, seven, eight. I wouldn't like to see him internationally at eight, but he can do a very good job at six, seven, or eight. But I agree. I think Curry, who played pretty well in tough conditions in South Africa, I think he will start at seven.
Yeah, all these lads feel like lads that should be in the back row, and they all feel like lads that deserve a chance in the back row. But in a back row with guys with 70...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gaps between them. Not in a back row together.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, injuries. Injuries have limited part of it. The one guy you could add who's got the experience would be someone like Haskell.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But in my mind, I don't think his form... I don't think from what I've seen of him for
2 years?
Some time... Well, in Australia...
France, he was very good.
Australia 16, he was very good. He's had the occasional game since then.
Yeah, I thought he's good. Yeah.
What do you think Don Armand, genuinely, what do you think Don Armand will be doing this weekend?
Playing Fortnite.
He won't watch it, will he? It must be so painful.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine he naturally supports England. I mean, he might want to play for them. I can't imagine he's massively fond of the team. I mean, I could be talking out of turn there, but he's not English, is he?
Yeah.
So he's not.
If he's not playing for them, I'd be interested to see which way the Almond House is supporting this weekend.
He's probably one of those. Because the point that you often make, Tim, is players like that didn't grow up supporting England. In fact, in many cases, players like that grew up wanting England to lose at every opportunity.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So second rows, we're looking at who?
Potentially Kratodji.
Yeah, Chris Kratodji most likely to start, unless he moves Kratodji to six. But looking at the team, I think that's unlikely. With then Ewells and Stuke being the other two options.
What about Tighthead?
Pretty simple. Shootout between Sinclair and Harry Williams.
Let's go Sinks.
Go Harry Williams, I'd say. Oh, I don't
probably,
know.
Probably, yeah. Either way.
And tens, he's got his two tens. Does he go Ford and Farrell? Is he going to do... Well, that's the thing.
So, yeah. If we're going on to the backs, because there's... A couple of interesting things in the backs. You've got the two tens. You've got the two big centres. So both Manu and Tio are there. Brown is out, who's the most experienced fullback. Chris Ashton is in.
Sorry, can I be clear on this? Brown is out. Injured out or out?
Not picked for the team. Not injured. Although there were some shots of him with his wrist in like... a bandage, or what looked like a bandage. It might have just been like a long sleeve skins type top. But he's not been listed as injured.
That is astonishing that you'd stick with him for so long to let him go now. That is
not played a lot for Quinns, but then neither is Chris Ashton.
Well, yeah,
played for Quinns.
Oh, sorry,
because Chris Ashton and Tio have hardly played a game of rugby this season. They've hardly played a game of rugby between them, and at least one of them is going to be in the 23.
Do you know what's maddening about this? Is just imagine. I mean, it's one thing testing out players, and I'm all for that. Like Ireland are doing, they're testing out players, right? So we don't really know what the Ireland team is going to look like on Saturday. But if there was a World Cup tomorrow, I think I could probably name 12 of the starting 15. A World Cup final tomorrow, and Ireland win it. I think I would know. I don't think I could name 9 of the England team tomorrow.
It depends who's fit, I would add. Because if you add a few players back in there, if you add Mako, if you add Billy, Rob Shaw, those three play. Those three start.
Watson
would start.
Yeah. Really? What over Daly and May?
With Daly and May.
With Daly and May.
With Brown, potentially.
Yeah, so...
Watson would either start or would be... Yeah, no, Watson would start,
Because we might know the players. We probably don't know the positions. Like, so, yeah, Farrell starts, or he plays.
Yeah.
But does Ford play? Does Tio play? Does Manu play?
Well,
does Daly play?
So that centre, that 10 and centre combination is going to be interesting. Because of the team he's selected, we know it's either... So I think Manu starts, but Tim, as you kind of hinted at, your tease on the other podcast.
Such a tease.
We don't know if Manu's going to start at 12 or 13 because he's got the option of Ford and Farrell, which is tried and tested.
Well, tried, tested and failed.
Tried, tested, did very well for 18
mixed
months.
Mixed results.
And then recently has had not so good results. With Manu at 13 in that scenario, which they have played Tio there as the 13 a couple of times, or you go Farrell or Ford, most likely Farrell at 10, Manu at 12, and then Slade at 13.
Oh, God,
Slade is on a very good run of form. He's one of the four, from what I've seen, he's one of the form players in the Premiership
your two
this season.
Back subs be? Who are your two back subs be?
Or three back subs?
Well, do you...
Noel can cover kind of outside backs. So he'll be one, and it'll be Ford the other.
Is Noel not going to start, though?
Well, let's stick with the midfield for a minute. And one really important thing to think is Leicester Tigers have been having the exact issue that we've been suggesting that possibly England could have with their pack, in as much as they've been struggling to sort of win that physical battle and do the Leicester things that Leicester have always done, getting across the gain line. The introduction of Manu Tuilagi straight off first phase changed the whole dynamic of that Leicester team against Scarlets in the Champions Cup, and I think that is England's biggest chance of doing a job on South Africa.
Yeah,
if you can get England forwards moving forward onto Manu Tuilagi from first phase, then I think they've got a shot. So I don't really think it matters whether Manu is wearing 12 or 13. I think it'll be kind of interchangeable a little bit, because I think they're going to use him direct off line out, straight off scrums as much as they can.
I do agree with that, Tim.
Do you think it's going to be effective though?
Not necessarily always Manu will make yards, but if he sucks defenders in, that creates, you're going to have a very pacey back three. So you're going to, if Daly's playing 15, which it looks like, with then Johnny May and Noel.
I mean, it sounds a
you
little.
Want to create room for
to
them.
Be fair, it sounds a little bit Tokechi, this, which is if we can just get a big guy running hard and straight off lineouts and scrums, we'll be able to go forward and then play wide. It works really well at level 8. It works awesomely. I just think it's such a complex game up at the high levels. That can't be the overall solution to England's woes.
Well, no, it won't be.
It sounds like that is the difference maker that they've got their, you know, that their hopes pinned on.
Well, no.
Well, it works for Leicester pretty well.
But yeah.
The step up between the Scarlets and the Springboks, depleted Scarlets and a massive Springboks team.
But the point, as we've made previously, is it's not all, having that is not all about utilising that.
Yeah.
Because that creates room for your ultra pacey back three.
Mm.
So having it as an option is great. Use it at the right time, but if you just use that, you're banging your head against a brick wall.
And my point with that is not just what it does in and of itself, but what you saw from that Leicester Scarlets game is all of a sudden a very average looking pack, when they're moving forward onto a ball and the defence are having to go back an extra yard, they suddenly look that extra 10% better.
I think he's going to play 12. Having thought about it now, thinking about the options at fullback, you've got no one good who has that playmaking ability. You need two playmakers. I think he's fed up with Ford and Farrell. I think it's going to be Farrell, Manu, Slade, because there's no way you can't have that second playmaker. Because it's like you say, if they're using him as a Jamie Roberts type, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The Jamie Roberts type, Jamie Roberts is most effective without the ball.
Yeah.
If that's the case, and they're just going to throw it to Tio, well, what would be the point?
Yeah, yeah. Tio and Tuilagi will not play together in the same way that Farrell and Slade will not play together in the centres.
Yeah.
Those two combinations will never happen.
Agreed.
Unless there's an in-game injury. That's the only way those combinations will happen.
Yeah, it has to be Slade, doesn't it?
It could be Ford and Farrell, but we've seen enough of it. And yeah. So, yeah, I would probably go Tuilagi and Slade. And then the back three will be pacey, so most likely it'll be Daly.
Isn't it interesting? We're like, there's not even a debate. We're all just assuming Ford's no longer England's 10 and Owen Farrell is. That's a big shift.
Well,
yeah, it is.
I agree with it, but it's a big shift.
You're right, it is a big shift. It's not that big a shift because Farrell's always done the kicking. He seems to lead a lot of the back's line moves. Yeah. He seems to kind of, when he's not captain, I know he's listed as co-captain here, and he has captained in the past, but when he's not captain, he does boss the game, he organises the backs, so it's not as big a shift as it was. It would be, say, moving, Damien Diolandi to 10 for South Africa. That would be a pretty big shift.
Yes, it would be pretty massive. So, basically, gone through the positionings, how do you think England are going to go on the weekend?
Well, back three's the last one. I've just got this feeling that he's going to go for Ashton. The fact Ashton's still in the squad.
So Ashton,
he did score a hat-trick in a kind of
Bob Evans game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and also scored a hat-trick in a Challenge Cup game.
He did, and he did very well in one of the pre-seasons for Sale. It sounds to me like he's nailed on. I mean, yeah. I mean,
he's played a good preseason game, a good Barbarians game, a good Challenge Cup game. Get him in. I just got a feeling he might just go for it.
Chris Ashton is not the kind of guy you bring off the bench, really.
Yeah,
no, he's not, is he?
No, because I know he has played a bit of 15, but I always think of him as fairly one-dimensional, lacks a bit of option.
Yeah, he's not top-end fast, is he?
Not anymore.
But he's the sort of guy who just hangs around. He needs the time on the field to pick his moment. Whereas Anthony Watson, you can throw on, he might be able to break three tackles and score.
Yeah, same with someone like Johnny May. Or Daly. Or Noel. Noel comes
Noel,
on,
actually, yeah.
Works very multiple positions, works phenomenally hard for 20 minutes, half an hour, can spark something different if you need that injection of energy. It kind of on the inside runner round the breakdown.
Hmm. So yeah, probably right then. If you're going to take him, he's probably got to play.
That said, I wouldn't play him because I feel.
What about fullback?
Daly.
Yeah, I know, but
Ashton has played there.
Oh God, no.
He had a couple of high profile horror shows, good old fashioned horror shows for Toulon playing at fullback.
He also got top. Try score of this in the French top 14.
Yeah,
he did.
No.
yes. Pick him, Eddie. Do it. Finish it. Finish it in style.
So, to add to all of this, South Africa, while they've not named their squad, we know a couple of things about who won't be playing.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Faf, Willy LaRue. Moster, and probably a couple of others that I'm forgetting right now. Francois Lowe, because it's outside the international window, so Premiership clubs don't have to release their players.
That's one point that some people have pointed out. They've sort of said, oh, you're giving Wales and Scotland a load of stick for playing an international outside of a test window, but England are they just doing it for the cash as well?
Well, yeah, it's a deal.
Yes, there are no Premiership games.
Yep.
There are no Premiership games. They are just doing it for the cash. But they do get the full squad and there's no Premiership games.
Yes.
But yeah, I still think that they are doing it for the cash. Cash is not always a bad thing, though. RFU could do with some cash right now.
Agreed.
So yeah, it's not going to be the fullest of full strength South African teams.
But it's going to be enough.
It'll be a handy.
Have you got a South Africa squad in front of you there, Phil?
I've not actually got not to hand.
Good. What kind of professional are you? So, if it is a sort of South Africa team that I'm thinking that it might be, I think England could be on the end of a serious hiding here. I see shades of France in the Six Nations again. Plus, what South Africa did to them in South Africa. South Africa continued to get better. You know, they nearly did a double over the All Blacks, for God's sakes. They beat the All Blacks away.
They did.
And they're pretty settled. I understand that they play pretty good rugby. They're going to come to Twickenham. This could be a very, very bad result.
Or good result, from your perspective.
Well, I like it when England win. When England win, podcast downloads skyrocket. Right? There is a direct correlation between England's success and my success. And
we'll wait and see on this one whether there's a direct link between us getting a name check on the chase and podcast downloads as well.
Exactly.
I think if you're looking for your podcast inspiration from an episode of The Chase, you're doing it wrong.
it was quite
interesting, quite nice to see that, wasn't it? We become a quiz question.
Yep.
Yeah, but the guy did. The contestant didn't know we were rugby podcast.
NFL,
it was American football.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Right. Have you got the South Africa squad?
I've got the squad.
Tell me some of the names. Tell me some of the big names.
Let me just check that this is the correct year.
It's all the normal ones except the England players.
Basically, yeah.
Pretty much it.
From what I'm looking at, Dwayne Vermaelen
is
in there.
That's the one I'm looking for.
He's in there.
It's over.
Alongside Warren Whiteley as a number eight.
Over.
Khaleesi, who's been playing very well.
Yep, he's pretty good.
Etzebeth.
Oh, Etzebeth. So, linked with Toulon. I have him linked with Leicester Tigers for a phenomenal sum of money.
Really?
£700,000 a year.
For a second row.
For a second row.
Kitsoff is going to... did a job on... he did a job on England when he played in the summer.
Yeah, Kitsoff coming on's handy. So they've got some absolutely enormous. Peter Steff-Tatoy, Malcolm Marks.
So two players that weren't in the summer, as much as South Africa don't have Faf de Klerk, they do have Malcolm Marks in this one that they didn't have before.
Yes. Lude de Jager. Vincent Kosh. Kitsoff, to name a few. Franz Malherb.
Oh, yeah. God.
So it's a very, very big pack. In the backs, again, usual guys. So is there top 14 fixtures? Because Cheslin Kolbe, who's obviously at Toulouse, is listed in the team, listed in the squad.
No, I don't think there is top 14 games.
So he might be available. But Willie LaRue...
I don't know. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, Willie LaRue and Faf will not be. But some of the other guys, so Pollard and Elton Yantis as your two number 10s. Dielandi, Jesse Creel, amongst others, in the centres. Gio Aplon, Dianti, who had a very good summer, both against England and... in the rugby championship on the wings. So it might not quite be full strength, but it'll be not a bad South Africa team.
Yeah, it's going to be... the more I think about it, it's going to be a massacre.
So interestingly, the two losses both came at altitude in the summer. The one win...
Yep.
Wasn't at altitude.
No, it was not.
And the two games that they lost, England lost at altitude, England started very well and were 15, 20 points up after 20 minutes. And then South Africa came back in that arm wrestle. So it will be interesting just to get another plot on that graph. Not saying anything, but just to get another bit of information on there. I know, JB, you were very... very against the altitude making a difference, which was something that actually you and Eddie Jones were very aligned on.
Yes.
One of the few things that you and Eddie Jones were very aligned on.
No, we're aligned on many, many things. Yeah. Look, there was another reason that England might have won.
You're very aligned with Eddie Jones on a love of MMA.
Does he like MMA now?
Yeah, well, he gets the squad doing it, doesn't he?
Judo.
Bit of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone... Oh, right. Someone did disagree with me. South Africa by 15.
I disagree.
Go on. What have you got, Tim?
I think it's going to be close. I think at home at Twickenham, a year from a World Cup... We have to win this one, and I think at Twickenham, with Manu Tuilagi fit, despite the underpowered pack, we have got Maro Itoje fit and firing, and I think England are going to sneak it in an ugly win.
Phil,
so I am actually concerned about Manu. I think some of the go forward and some of the options he gives are very good. Go forward with him taking the ball and options to use him as a dummy runner, as we said before. I am actually a little bit concerned about his defence. And I think Leicester's defence has not been very good. And
no, it hasn't.
Him in particular, he has made some odd,
yeah, you're right,
odd decisions. So if
you're
South
right.
African can exploit that, that's not going to be good. The South African pack, I am terrified of,
yeah,
because of our undercooked pack. Against South Africa, I will say Willie LaRue has been playing some sensational rugby, and he adds that second playmaker to that South African back line, which is... So if if D'Alande and Creel are playing in the centres, neither of those are particular playmakers. So Willerou coming into the line, distributing, kicking, taking pressure off the either relatively inexperienced Pollard or the occasionally erratic Yantis does help them. But even with that negative for South Africa, I think they're going to win. I think South Africa by probably less than seven, than five.
I think, Pollard's an interesting one. He plays, they definitely win. I love Yantis. I think he's phenomenally talented. I think it's a
Pollard starting. There's not even a debate there.
Yeah.
If Yantis was to start, that would be insanity.
So one other interesting thing, I've not actually seen it written anywhere recently. England are using, Eddie Jones is using this as a bit of preparation for Japan. Do you know why?
Why would Eddie Jones be preparing for a place he's not going to go? I don't know.
They were doing something to do with the... Yeah, because that was part of the reason for going to Portugal. They were doing something to do with... Like getting the schedule exactly the same as it will be before a game.
It is, yes, correct. So, I can't remember which way around it is, but in Japan, they play, it's Tonga first, then USA second, opposite ends of Japan. So, north side, northeast to south,
600 miles
west. I think more than that. I'm not sure, but it's a good distance. A couple of hours flight, which is Portugal to London. They play those two games 4 days apart.
Oh.
So Eddie Jones is flying back into London late for international standards. He's flying in 48 hours before the game, so they've got a quick turnaround, which will replicate the Sapporo to Kobe, I think it is, those two games.
Nice.
There you go. So it's just... As an England fan, it'd be nice to get that excuse in.
Yes.
I'm getting in now so that we can use it immediately after the game.
God, I'm looking forward to this.
It'd be interesting whether he tries to replicate the schedule of coming home early. Maybe we won't do the last autumn international.
Well done.
Well, that's why he's having four internationals, of course. Only four, and then just finish then. 10 weeks mandated break for all his players after that.
Oh, God.
Now, we are, gentlemen, the owners of this rather nice shirt.
Ooh, that is nice.
Isn't it nice?
So patriotic.
Yeah, so... One thing I'm holding up, Tim, it's a shirt. It's very patriotic.
You're holding up... a rugby shirt version of the... 50p Brexit coin.
Ooh, not quite. It is a rugby shirt, of course.
The England shirt signed by Dylan Hartley?
No, it is a brand new one. I was going to say it's mine. Technically, I own one third of it.
Which third do you want, interestingly?
I don't know, but if I can get...
The third with all the signatures on.
Yeah, it is signed by every member of the squad. I think it's the seven squad, actually.
Wow.
Any clues?
The women's shirt.
No. Patriotic because, of course, it's got stars, stripes and eagles plastered all over it with Fly Emirates on the top. It is the USA top and it is absolutely glorious.
They were in, yes. I was going to go across and chat to Perry Baker. Not Perry Baker. Yeah, Perry Baker. Because they were training in Chester last week.
Oh, were they?
Ah.
Yeah.
Perry Baker, best dressed man in rugby. Now, this...
They were training at... who's the guy who used to play for England Sevens? Hooker, Wasps, Gloucester... Phil Greening.
Greening, yeah.
Phil Greening's got an amazing training place in Chester. Really is amazing.
Wow, did not know that. This is such poor form for me. I've been scrolling through my inbox messages for God knows how long. And I there was a note that came with it, and... I can't remember the name of who sent it. It was a listener. Thank you so much. The reason it's here is because his wife wouldn't let him put it up.
What?
Yeah, I would leave her.
It's a thing of beauty.
It is a thing of beauty.
What?
Imagine how beautiful his wife is.
The way I look at that now is not that we have a third of it. It's we are custodians of it. It's
exactly.
not ours. We are the people that are looking after it until we pass it on to its next home at some point in the future.
Yes. Exactly right. It's got a little GPS.
Or return it to that person once they divorce their wife.
Yeah, let us know how the relationship's going. And you know, if it's not going so well, we'll send you this one and some other shirts.
Yeah, the imminent divorce.
Yes. But it is a large. I mean, I might not get into a large 7 shirt as it stands.
That's my size.
Yeah. I mean, it's all of our sizes in a way, isn't it, Tim? So when we are... When we're following USA in the World Cup, who knows? I might even bring it out.
Ah, yeah,
excellent. So thank you very much.
By that. Yeah. Lovely.
I'll put it up in the dungeon today.
So, of everything that we had on our little list, let me just go back to it. The only one I think we've not touched on is the Australia squad announcement. Not that we need to go through the Australia squad, because much of it is predictable.
I know what you want to say.
But Adam Ashley Cooper's back.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Age 34, having spent 2 years in Japan, 2 years tuning his body finally for international rugby, drinking sake and eating sushi in Japan. And he's back.
Oh, is he in Japan?
He's been in Japan. So he did two...
I thought it was Bordeaux.
2 years after the World Cup in Bordeaux, and now he's on his second year in Japan.
Oh wow!
Did he retire, or he just took a sabbatical?
Well, I don't know if he ever formally retired from internationals.
Good lad.
I don't think he ever retired. I think he was Bordeaux, and now he's gone chasing.
Good lad. That's how it should be. You go and do what you want, but you never retire. When your country calls, you answer.
Absolutely. So it will be interesting to see. So I think they've got a couple of injury issues at 13. Karevi and Hodge, hence why Folau was playing there last weekend in Bledisloe 3.
Yeah, and I think they learnt in Bledisloe 3 when having a centre who usually plays centre is actually probably a good idea.
It does help, and Folau does what Folau does, and what he will always do. If you give him the ball in space, he will score phenomenal tries, and he did that in Bledisloe 3. He also gave a pretty ridiculous offload for the Ben Smith try, and occasionally looked out of position in defence. So having someone of AAC's experience who has played 13 internationally and at Super Rugby level will be quite valuable.
Mm. Yep. And he's got God on his side as well.
AAC or Folau?
Folau.
Folau, yes.
Don't ever forget that.
Did God make him pass to Ben Smith?
He works in mysterious ways.
Sometimes he does.
He does.
It's a lesson.
Look, he'll come back stronger for it, because that was the plan.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So that's it. That's everything I think we had. The only other thing I want to mention is thank you to everyone who got in touch with us to inform us the film that JB was thinking of last time.
Oh, yeah.
Was Crank, starring Jason Statham.
Yeah, you talk about rugby, don't you? For like, literally, I don't know. Let me just, rough guess now. Maybe 500 to 600 hours worth of rugby chat that we've given the public now. About that. So, an hour a week. Some weeks, 2 hours a week. Some weeks, God knows how many.
Yeah, three or four some weeks.
Yeah, so maybe 500 to 600 hours a week of rugby chat. Okay. And we mention a B-list film, which no one can remember in the room, and yet that gets more traction than our entire podcast. So kind of puts things into perspective for you, doesn't it?
It really captivated the public's imagination.
Yeah, more film chat from now on. But yeah, I'm going to watch Crank.
Was that right? That was the premise, that he had to keep running around to keep his heart rate above a certain level, otherwise he'd die.
Yes,
it was his adrenaline levels above a certain level.
Incorrect, incorrect, Phil.
Was it his heart level?
It is his heart level, and as I understand it, the second film, he has his heart replaced by an electrical thing. So it was Crank, and then he's got to run around getting electric shocks to keep his electrical heart charge in the sequel.
That's so good. It's so bad. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing that we have been getting some heat or traction on Twitter is We initially uploaded a previous week's episode. We then almost immediately corrected it. But it seems that some podcast providers didn't take the second episode. So apologies if you downloaded and listened to a repeat episode.
Yeah. Excellent.
I'm having some issue with one of my pod providers at the minute.
Oi?
There's things going on. So yeah, we'll iron out any kinks, or I'll bash someone over the head with something.
But
nice one.
Excellent. Right, so there you go. Another one in the books.
Our total
601 hours done.
So we're aiming for 6,000 hours.
Aren't we aiming for 10,000 hours? So 10,000.
Yeah, 10,000 hours.
Yeah, we're just over 5% competent now, aren't we? If you think about the 10,000 hour rule.
There you go.
Yeah, so, done. Find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, find us on YouTube, find us everywhere you can find good rugby podcasts and bad ones too. And remember, enjoy the rugby this week. We will see you next Sunday with loads more to talk about.
In a bit.
Phil, goodbye.
Let the boys play, JB.
Tim, goodbye.
Let the boys play.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.